Bibles, please, and turn to the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1. And as you are turning there, I find it, perhaps like you, extremely difficult to realize that this is the first Sunday in December, the last month of the year. And within 22 days, we will be celebrating Christmas. It's extremely hard to even think that the year 2000 is fast passing and we are a part of what God is doing. And so I trust that as we have these series on events around Christmas, that the Holy Spirit will use His Word to encourage us, to strengthen us, to challenge us, and like Abraham, for us to walk by faith, to see the mighty ways in which God works. Luke chapter 1. Beginning to read at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, most likely this was in Mary's house that Gabriel came, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, to you, and may the Holy Spirit be presently working, that, Father, your word will speak to all our hearts, conforming us to the image of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. One can always tell when a visit is supposed to take place, or a visitor is coming. This past year at the Olympics, when thousands and thousands of people would have their eyes on Australia, and when thousands and thousands of people would be in Sydney, I don't know if you saw some programs that I saw, but one of the programs I saw was the cleaning up around the area of Sydney where they believe people would be going. Because whenever there is to be a special visit, people want to make sure that the places that are visit are acceptable to the visitor. And so sometimes you don't see the behind-the-scenes places. You don't see some of the things that people have to live with every day. You simply see the areas they have cleaned up because a visit was about to take place. One of the things I find in the New Testament as well as in the Old, that when God is going to pay us a visit, He doesn't announce it when it is going to happen. He announces it long before it happens, so that we look forward to that. It gives us an opportunity to clean up, if you please, so that we are able to prepare for His visit. I suggest to you that this is what we have with the coming of the angel Gabriel to Mary. And for the next few minutes, I'd like to use this very wonderful, dramatic story, this breaking into human history by the angel of the Lord, praying that God will use it to encourage us, because if there's anything that you and I need today, if there's anything that this present generation needs, it needs a visit from God. It needs a divine intervention into the path it is taking. And we will trust that the Christmas story gives us the anticipation, gives us the foundation upon which we build, believing that it is possible to believe God for a visit from Him in the day, this scientific age in which we live. My wife is working on report cards, and she's been sitting at the computer for the last little while. And last night she was working frantically, and all of a sudden the whole thing froze. I thought of Tyler Murphy. I thought of John Quantz. I thought of Kevin Enns. But it was 12:30. And so the only thing that would be possible at that time is to pray. Well, I thought I'd try and be Mr. Fix-It. Kevin told me what to do once when it froze. And if Kevin says anything about the computer, Kevin is the Bible for the computer. That was his wife. I agree with her too, by the way. Because I pushed a little button and the whole screen went crazy. But my wife worked it out after a while. I thought of that. I thought of how many things can go wrong in the world in which we live. And if we don't have some divine foundation upon which we stand, we are just going to go crazy. We need to have some means by which we can appeal in this scientific age to something or to someone outside of the textbook that we read for the computer. And who is that one to visit us when we are facing the difficulties of life? Who is that one to visit us and to do something unique for us when we're not able to understand the circumstances in which we find ourselves? Consider with me briefly this morning, please. This unusual visit. Because whenever God comes to visit, he comes to do something that nobody else can do, as we shall see in our text. Consider with me three things that are under the divine design of the visit. It is the divine design of a visit. Whenever I'm going away and I'm going to go over outside the country, I will call Sally Thomas and I will tell her, I need to go here. Please plan my visit for me to see what I'm supposed to do and where I can get the best deal. It is her job to do that. And we're told that one day Mary was sitting in her home doing what we're not told. And all of a sudden they broke in upon Mary's silence in her solitude. All of a sudden something happened she was not expecting. And the scripture tells us in verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. Consider with me, my friends, the plan for the visit. The plan for the visit. The idea that the angel Gabriel came from God was not simply that he was an agent doing something for God. The idea is that God's mind was being revealed to Mary through the angel Gabriel. So the plan for the visit was really God's plan. Christmas is not the combined concern of human beings for the condition of the universe that brought God into human history. Christmas was a plan of God from time immemorial. He planned the time it was going to happen. He planned how it was going to happen. He planned where it was going to happen. He knew the exact moment, the exact time he was beginning to actually unfold that plan for his visit to the earth. And when Elizabeth was about to give birth miraculously, Gabriel came with God's plan for Mary. Let me suggest to you, my friends, we sometimes like to say it, that God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. But let me suggest to you something. The word visit in the Old Testament and in the New, to be sure, but the Hebrew word, we got our word elder from that word. And when God comes to visit, he comes as an elder. And as an elder, he comes to see what is happening, to observe the circumstances. Not that he doesn't know, but what a privilege to know that when God pays us a visit, he comes with a specific plan, a specific purpose. He has a cause, and he comes not randomly. He comes divinely beforehand, plan to unfold to you and to me what his purposes are. I think that's wonderful, because we know that when God works, it is not something that does not have meaning. So as a visitor, God does not come simply to sit beside. He comes to change things. He comes to renovate. He comes to actually transform the ordinary to the extraordinary. And all through the Old Testament and in our text today, his plan was to change the life of Mary irrevocably for all time. And so I think the same is true with you and me. He comes to bring relief from the condition we find ourselves in. The plan of the visit was a divine one. And Christmas is a divine plan. A visit that was planned way in eternity and unfolded to Mary for you and for me. But look at the place. The place of the visit. It was a city called Galilee. A city called Nazareth in Galilee, the province of Galilee. Now, there's something very interesting about Nazareth. Do you remember Nazareth? When I was in Israel, and we were driving by Nazareth, someone said, "That's Nazareth." That was all it was said. We didn't even stop. Historians tell us that no Jew would reside in Nazareth. It was a despised place. It was not on the top 10 list of places I would like to visit. There wasn't anything inviting about Nazareth. Mohammedans live there. Palestinians live there. But no Jew lives in Nazareth. There was something accursed about that place. There was nothing beautiful about it. And consider this, friends, that that's the place that God chose to visit. He passed the cities of the great kings. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to the places that might be known. He went to a place that was despised and rejected. A place that had no status in the conscience of the people who lived by it and just would pass by it. For centuries later, when a tourist would be in Israel passing Nazareth, all they would say is, "That's Nazareth." In the day when our Lord, when it was said that our Lord came from Nazareth, now, remember what Nathanael said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But to me, this is most important. It is important, my friends, because God will come to me where no one else will. We heard it last night. We heard of a man who was in prison. And there, God visited him, a place where no one else would go. How encouraging to know that no place, no circumstance at all that you and I might be in, that God cannot visit, but that God can visit there. Doesn't matter where. He visited Mary in his home, in her home. He visited our friend in the cell. And there are others. I've spoken with people personally who have talked about God's presence there, visiting them in the place where no one else would come to see them. He visits us in our hospital rooms. He visits us in the sadness of our homes. He visits us when we don't feel that we are accepted or received. Because you see, the person that he visited, Mary, said that she was a low person, a person of low estate. She was nothing but a handmaiden. She was, if you please, the clay in the potter's hand. Mary had no status in the place where she lived. She called herself a low estate maiden. Someone who is actually seen as being at the bottom. Someone who is seen as not being accepted by the environment in which she was in. Neither the place nor the person had status. Yet that is exactly where God visited. It is exactly where God visited. Do you know the story of the man who wrote "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? Joseph Scriven. He moved from Ireland to Canada and he landed up in Port Hope. It wasn't long after he moved to Port Hope that he got a telegram saying that his mother was deathly ill. Scriven had no money to go back to see his mother. And in a lonely place in Port Hope, he sat down and he wrote a poem to his mother, hoping that that poem might give some comfort to her. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer.
In his arms he'll take and he will fold thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. The plan was God's. The place was uninviting, but God was there. And my friends, that's what I would like you to see this morning. That God is in our circumstances. God knows the place where we are as individuals, as families. God knows the place where we are as a church. God knows the place where we are in our individual lives. He knows the pains that we are bearing. And he's not apart from it. He's ready to visit if we are ready for his visit. He wants to inspect. He wants to make sure that you understand that when he comes actually almost, my friends, to throw an upheaval in our lives. Because once we meet the sovereign, majestic God, we are never the same again. Mary was not, as we shall see. What do we discover then? What do we discover in the visit from God? What do we discover when God comes? What do we learn? What did Mary learn? What can we learn? I see three things again that was discovered from this visit by God. This God who came to investigate. This God who came to bless. This God who came to change a life and change a situation. The first thing I learned from God's visit, I've already alluded to it. It's in verse 27 and 28. The angel said to Mary, "The Lord is with thee." Do you get that? The Lord is with thee. We discover the presence of God in the ordinariness of life. Mary was at home. Mary was taking care of things in her home. And all of a sudden, God visited by way of his angel. And he said to her, "The Lord is with thee." Was he teasing her? If God is with us, why are we in the mess we're in? If God is with me, why do I feel that I'm just a low estate person? Nobody likes Nazareth. I don't have a keen sense of who I am, so to speak. I just see myself as one, as among me, at the bottom of the totem pole. If God is with me, does not the presence of God speak about prosperity? We have that today, don't we? The prosperity theology. That if God is there, then surely things are going to be so much different. Surely if God is there, we're not going to go through any kind of problems. The presence of God. What does that mean? It means, my friends, in the presence of God, in the midst of circumstances, Christmas reminds us that it was not a very lovely world into which God came. It was a confused world. It was a dark world. It was a world, my friends, that had all its values turned inside out. And in the midst of that, we are promised the presence of God. I was reading the 39th chapter of the book, and I'll allude to it again, of Genesis. And Potiphar's wife accused Joseph wrongly of trying to rape her. Joseph, who had stood with integrity before Potiphar's wife, before Potiphar, and before God. And Potiphar's wife connived in a way that she actually implicated Joseph in a rape scene. And what was interesting to me is that in no place do I find Joseph defending himself. I don't find Joseph trying to explain anything. Potiphar's wife said, he tried to do this. And listen, friends, Joseph was sent to prison. But you know what I read? But the Lord was with Joseph. But the Lord was with Paul said, many have forsaken me, but the Lord stood with me. I might not have status. I might not have the acceptance of the environment in which I live, says Mary, but I am told that I have the presence of God. For where faith is, God is. And if I go to prison in faith, God goes to prison with me. Now, we don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. But that's the reality of things, friends. God is with us. And because things are not going the way we want them, because things seem to be in a turmoil right now, it doesn't mean that God isn't there. The Lord is with thee. Gideon was told the same thing and he said, no, you've got the wrong person. And we might think of what might be happening in a number of other churches at this moment with all the seats filled. But it doesn't mean, my friends, that God is there and he's not here. The Lord is with us. That's what Christmas tells us. That we're not alone anymore. We have been visited by God. And so the presence of the Lord is the first discovery in the visit of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a statement, not simply a promise. The problem with God, and I've alluded to it already, she was troubled. And I looked precisely at this text because she was not yet told that she was going to give a baby miraculously. She was only visited. And she was disturbed by this. She said, how can the Lord be with me? She was agitated. She almost felt as though she was being mocked. If you want to, or you can write it down, Psalm 73. Let me read it for you. Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3. I like this. The psalmist says this, but as for me, my feet came near to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. Now this is the righteous talking. For I was envious of the arrogant. I saw the prosperity of the wicked, and I became envious. This is what the psalmist said. The psalmist says, look, those who don't trust God have no problems at all. But he said, when I looked at them, I took my eyes off him who comes to visit us. And all of a sudden, I almost slipped. By the way, there's a principle here. There's a principle here. If you have your faith too low, you will always slip. Because faith, real object is in heaven, not on earth. In other words, never trust man. Not even the man talking to you. Trust the God of whom he speaks. For only God makes faith real. When the psalmist looked at man, he forgot God and he acted out of the ordinary like any other person. He became envious because he had a problem with how God can be present and things can go wrong. He had a problem as to how the wicked could have so much and the righteous could have so little. He had a problem with the ways in which God works. If God knows everything, I heard someone say, if God knows everything, why did he make Adam and Eve to sin? He knows all that. Well, if I read the text correctly, it says when he made them, he said it was good. Not that they were supposed to sin. Does God know everything? Of course he knows everything. Explain it to me then. I'm not God. I can't explain that, friends. I can give you a theological response. But I cannot explain how it seems that God is with us when we're going through difficulties, and those who don't care a bit about God never seems to have the same problem. Well, never seem to have. The psalmist says, when I went into the sanctuary, I changed my mind about that. The problem with God. Let me suggest to you, my friends, if you are a believer this morning, if you're a Christian, you have problems with God. I have problems with God. Not his existence. None at all. Not his purpose. None at all. I have problems with his plans. Because his plans never suit my little 2x4 little brain. I try to put myself into how can God do that? And will you allow me? That is why Charles Templeton has walked away from faith. because he cannot see how God could cause his son to go to the cross. He tried to play God and he lost. On the way here this morning, I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias. And he was speaking of people who are tempted to leave. Speaking for the book of Hebrews, people who are tempted to give up on God because they just can't understand how God could allow certain things he does. That's why we read from Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Abraham. Because, my friends, God visits people who walk by faith, not people who walk by sight. Faith is not explainable in human terms. We have to come to grip with God before we come to grip with his plans. Because his plans never work out. Was it not James Dobson who gave a series the other day, when God doesn't make sense? Sometimes it seems that way. And so there is the presence of God is discovered in the ordinariness of life. The problems with God, he's far above us. We don't understand what he's always doing. The purpose of God. And what was the purpose? The purpose was to bring salvation to the world. Mary, I want your body to be the channel through which I will perform a miracle. And my friends, may I suggest to you this morning, that the days of miracles are not over because God still reigns. God is still able to do what the text says, able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And we must come to grips with God before we're able to embrace the plans of God. How can this be? Mary said. I don't know a man. How can this be? And you might be asking yourself this morning, I don't see how God can do anything with. You finish the sentence. I don't see how God can. You finish the sentence. And then look at God. Because, my friends, in the visit of God, we do not only discover his presence. We do not only discover the problem. We do not only discover what I call the purpose of God. In the visit of God, we discover the power of God. How can this be? And the angel said to her, Mary, you are only the channel. You are not the operator. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Do you get that? Nothing is impossible. If nothing is impossible, then it means that all things are possible. Because that's what he's saying. Anything that God words out for you, anything he words out, is possible. Do you remember when Martha stood in front of the grave of Lazarus, 4 days dead? And I love that old King James word, by now, Lord, he stinketh. Love that word. In other words, there is corruption. There is decay. Jesus said to Martha, did I not say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And my friends, when God comes to visit, he comes to unveil his power so that you and I will glory as Mary did, only in the great power and the movements of God in human history. He was a soldier. He was in prison in Russia. He was there because of the way that system works. Disagree with it and you go to prison. There was a doctor who had come to faith in Christ, given up his socialist beliefs to become a Christian, and then things went really awry and he somewhat backslid for a while. The soldier was put in there. And one night, this soldier was attended to by this doctor who was there now because of his faith, which he had lost. And this doctor regained his faith in prison and was speaking to God one night over this sick soldier who had been brought in. And that soldier was not only rescued from imprisonment, but was rescued from Satan's domain. His name is Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And he has written this. He wrote this. I thank God for the prison, for while in prison, I discovered his son. I don't know what you're going through this morning, friends, but the visit of God assures us that God has the power to answer whatever circumstance you find yourself in this morning. And I invite you this morning to cast all your cares upon God, because he cares for you and he has the power to do what no one else can do. At the end of his life, the brothers of Joseph said, please don't be angry at us. And Joseph said, I can't be angry with you, because through the well that you put me in, through the selling of myself to the Midianites, and through what all the difficulties I've had, God, you meant it for evil, but God for good, that he might save many people. My friends, yesterday is past. Let us believe today what God can do tomorrow and see what many souls will come to Christ, because we have been where only God could visit us to display his glory as he works in our lives to reach them. Let us pray. Father, how we pray for that visit even in this moment. I don't know the businessman whose business is going through a difficult time, the wife who is going through difficult times at home in her relationship with her husband, the husband who is going through the difficult time with his wife, the children who are facing trials in the home. I don't know, Father, any of these things. But we cannot be a people as we are this morning without people hurting. We know, Father, the reality of life. In this world, you will have tribulation, says Christ. But I have overcome. You visit us in all those circumstances to display your power, for that we might discover things that we never would have apart from going through the circumstance we find ourselves in, And so I pray that this word this morning will give encouragement to your people to realize that when God comes to visit, he comes so that we might experience his presence. He comes that we might overcome our problems. He comes that we might discover his purposes. But, oh God, he comes to show us what power he has, that when he acts, when he says something, it is done, because no power can ever stop God from accomplishing his own purpose. Encourage us today with your word, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.